We're continuing in our study of 1 Corinthians. Did you get a lot 2 weeks ago from Pastor Jess? That was so good. Just a little review. I'm not going to take much time with this, but I just thought her points were worth repeating because they were so good. Number one, she said, to live humbly with the Holy Spirit. Have you been practicing that this week? I call it on your face fellowship. You know, you just lay yourself prostrate before him and say, God, I can't do anything without your goodness and your grace. So live humbly with the Holy Spirit. Number two was operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and you can experience the very power of God operating through you. And we'll talk a little bit more about that today. And then number three, expect a manifestation of the Holy Spirit today. Have you, the last couple weeks, been expecting more of a manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Expecting him to use you? I always say, God, use me in spite of myself. Amen? He has to do that sometimes. Just move out of the way so he can work. But anyway, so we're moving right along. And we're in 1 Corinthians 2. We're starting with verse 6. And we're looking at verse 6 through 16 today. So I'm going to read that whole passage together. But I want you all to say with me, I have the mind of Christ. I want you to say it again. Let it sink in. I have the mind of Christ. Doesn't that feel a little weird when you've done something really ridiculously stupid and then you want to say, oh, you're so stupid to yourself? But we have to confess and we have to let it get in our heart and we have to really believe what the Word of God says, that we have the very mind and nature of God. Isn't that good? We have the mind of Christ. So we're going to look at that today a little bit more. And I'm so excited. I feel like I got the best passage to work with. Sorry, you other, the rest of the teaching team, but I got the fun one this time. I don't always. But anyway, let's read through this. It's a little bit lengthy, but we're going to pull out some nuggets. We're going to look through it and then pull out some rich nuggets. And I believe you're going to get something today. Do you believe you're going to get something today? Okay, so let's move right along. 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 6, in the New Living Translation. We'll have it on the overhead, but if you don't have that translation in your Bible. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak words with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. For the rulers of this world have not understood it. They did not understand it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, and this is from Isaiah 64:4, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's us. Isn't that good? Your mind has not conceived, your ear has not heard, your eye has not seen what he has prepared for us. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Isn't that amazing? No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts, excuse me, except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand. Say, I'm spiritual. Only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate or judge all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated or judged by others. Aren't you glad? For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? That's taken from Isaiah 40, verse 13. And then look at this. But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. Turn to the girl next to you and say, I have the mind of Christ. Now, I want to get you to where you believe that today. Amen? Let's break this down a little. Excuse me. Okay, we're going to do this in Jesus' name. So God knew the whole plan before even the beginning of the world. God had a plan. God is God. Amen? And he had a plan, and he even prophesied it right after Adam and Eve sinned. This is what God said in Genesis 3:15. He said, for I will put enmity between you, or strife between you and the woman. He was talking to the devil. And between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, her seed, Jesus, will bruise your head, his authority, talking to the devil, and you shall bruise his heel. A bruised heel is a whole lot different than a bruised head. Amen? So he was saying, from the seed of woman, not man, not human, but God and woman, from the seed of woman would come one that would crush the authority and the head of the devil. And he's our hero man, Jesus Christ. Amen? So this was no surprise to God. Did he cause it to happen? No, he's infinite. He knows all things. And so in his foreknowledge, there was already a plan in place, because nothing surprises our God. Aren't you glad? No mistake you've made ever surprised him. He already had a plan to work that thing for good. Are you here today? Are you listening today? So only in the light of the cross does anything in the word really make sense. And when you understand what was going on, how a Savior had to come, how the world had to be redeemed, then you understand some of the things in the Old Testament. It makes sense why God had to so closely guard the children of Israel and make sure that a lineage could come through for Jesus. He had to literally be born. You know, it's hard for us to conceive, but God is truth. He is love, but he is truth. He is the originator of all truth. So when he said to Adam and Eve, in sinning, you're going to die. In dying, they would die. It would be a gradual death, but it would mean spiritual death also. He had to follow through with his own words. He couldn't just, I changed my mind. That's not God. He is God. And once he said it, once it was decreed, it had to be. So then he had to actually play by his own rules and send his son, his very own son, to come and be born of a virgin, walk this human existence, die on a cruel cross, and then defeat the very power of death by raising from the dead. It had to actually happen. It had to actually happen. That's how strict, that's how righteous, that's how exact our God is. So he doesn't just wink at sin. There was a price that was paid for sin. Yes, his grace and his mercy extends to us, and aren't we glad? But there has to be seasons, there has to be times in your heart that you appreciate that grace and that mercy. And that's what I'm calling on your face fellowship at times, that you go, God, you forgave me. You're so good. Not that you wallow in it and go through guilt for days and days, but that you say, thank you very much. Thank you very much that you paid this price that I could be set free from the power of this sin. Are you with me today, girls? Are you with me? So in the light of the cross, we can look back and understand some things in the Word. that God was preserving a nation. He was preserving a lineage of faith. He actually had to cut a blood covenant with a man named Abraham that was made righteous through his faith. Because it's God and sons. And I hope you see today, the other thing I hope you see is the value that God has placed on us. It's not just the sovereignty of God. He is sovereign. He is God. But we use that as an excuse many times. Oh, well, if God wants me to have it, oh, come on, get on your faith. Look at what you need in your life. Talk to him about it. Believe you receive it. He wants you to have it. That's why he died, to give it to you. So we don't just pass things off like an excuse. He is God, but he's created us in his image. And he respects us. And he wants us to cooperate with him so that we get a little bit of benefit from our obedience. Amen? He's got it all worked out. He's got it all worked. So he had to have a man to cut a covenant with him and be willing to sacrifice. See, Abraham, when he lifted that knife to kill his very own son, the intent was there. He was going to do it. It was the angel that stopped him. But do you get it? There had to be faith on earth saying, I will sacrifice my son so that God could do the great exchange and say, therefore, I will sacrifice my son. We got to get some of these realities. And when we get them down in our heart, we'll realize really who we are in Christ. That we're beautiful, wonderful, very talented, gifted women of God. Raised up for this hour. Do you think it was a mistake you were born in this hour? Do you think it was just a drunken thing that your parents had, or you don't even know your dad, or what happened? But you were planned in the heart of God, in the very heart of God, before the foundations were created. You were designed to live in this hour. So you know what that tells me? That we've got the goods. It tells me that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It tells me that we do have the wisdom that we need for this hour. We do have the strength that we need for this hour. Are you here, girls, or have you already gone home on me? So it is so important that we learn how to use our faith. The devil did not have a clue, and the rulers of this age did not have a clue that by killing Jesus, he would seal his own fate. Had no clue at all that by killing Jesus, he just wanted him out of the way. I want him shut up. He's taking people away from my kingdom. He's getting people delivered that I've oppressed. He was clueless. He's a created being that got kicked out of heaven by another angel. God didn't waste his time. He felt like lightning. And so he didn't have a clue that by killing Jesus, that was the ticket. And that's what Jesus, he knew that in the garden. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That's what gave him the endurance to be able to go to the cross. None of us can even imagine the reality of that, the cruelness of that, the suffering that went, that took on, that took place in his heart. But he saw us. He saw through the eons of time. He saw he had been there with his father in the beginning. He knew the intent of the father to create human beings in his image that he could have fellowship with. And he knew that God wanted them bought back. And the only one that could pay the price was him. And so he went to the cross knowing that the power of the Holy Spirit was going to raise him up. And he would literally defeat the power of sin and death. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? And so, but the devil didn't have a clue. And that tells you about something about the wisdom of this world. It's very short-sighted. We cannot be short-sighted, women. We have the wisdom of God. We cannot be short-sighted. And that's what your flesh will do. We've been talking a lot lately about sin because we're all trying to get you out of sin and get all of us overcoming. But sin, it's that immediate gratification. I got to have it now. That lust that drives you, whatever it is. It can be food. It can be guys. It can be a coveting thing that you got to buy the next, the best, the latest. But it's that immediate gratification. It keeps you short-sighted. But God says, no, no, no. Get the big picture here. We're dealing with eternal issues here. The what he wants you to do and how to stand in faith for your family is so that they can eventually live eternally. So whatever you got to do to get them in the kingdom and to get them walking right, it's going to be worth your little bit of suffering to get them there, because he's got a long-range plan. Amen? Amen. So that's why we have to pray that people's eyes be opened. That's in Ephesians 1:16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world system, little g God, the rulers that didn't have a clue what was going on with Jesus and that they were sealing their own fate, blinds the God of this world system, little g God, blinds people's eyes. And that's why we have to pray, as I said, Ephesians 1:16 through 18, that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that the lights come on, that they see the reality of what is really going on and aren't blinded by the cultural currents of the day and the lust of their own flesh, but that their eyes can be opened to see their need for God. And as I've said many times, who in their right mind would ever go to hell? Who? Only someone that is deceived, that doesn't know. So we pray that their eyes be open. But in verse 8, it talks about the rulers of this world. Who are they? The rulers of this world. As I said, they didn't have a clue. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But this is what we wrestle against, and this is in prayer. This is in standing against these things. It says, against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. This is the hierarchy that's going on in the spirit realm that we will wrestle against in prayer, not people. But these are the forces that are behind people that make them act mean, that make them not want to forgive you, that make them act ugly at Thanksgiving dinner. This is the hierarchy. They might be blood related, but this is what's going on behind the scene. Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, in the heavenlies. That's the demonic hierarchy that goes on. Who's behind the rulers of this world, these principalities, these powers? But Jesus has stripped them of all authority in our lives. They have no authority in your life. They're like the demonic hosts that are hovering around and doing whatever they do. They are like that renter that won't pay rent. Now, you don't have to look up or smile if you're struggling right now. But if you've ever been a landlord and you have someone that won't pay rent, then you might have to evict them. And so the enemy, he's like that renter that has not been evicted. He's still here, but he has no authority. He has no right to be here because Jesus stripped him of all power and all authority for those of us that are in Christ. Now, he does have authority for other people that don't yet know Jesus. But some of us that have even made Jesus the Lord and Savior of our lives, we let the devil have too much play. We let him mess with our mind. We let him mess with our moods. We let him mess with our attitudes. He's a liar. And so we have to resist him steadfast. Amen? And we have to enforce the authority that Jesus has given us and evict the guy. I was so blessed. One of the ladies, she's one of the older ladies in our SALT ministry, our seniors ministry. And she's had miracle after miracle in her life. She's just wonderful. And she got attacked with COVID a couple weeks ago. And she goes, Pastor Sue, I know it really doesn't work like this, but it helped me. She got so tired, she was really, really sick, and she said for a moment she felt like maybe it was going to be her time to go, and she started talking to Jesus about it. Is it my time? And he said no, so she was good. But she said, I just went, and I opened every window in the house. I opened every door in the house. I stood at the doorway, and I said, you get out. You have no authority in my house. You have no authority over my body. You have no authority in my life. And she said, I just drove him out. And she goes, and I was healed. And I said, good girl. Good girl. I love that kind of spunk. And she said, I know that, you know, physically I didn't need to do that, but she needed to do that. Just to remind the devil that he is evicted. He is out. He has no authority. Amen. Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed, this is what he did, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus whooped the devil up on his own turf. Yeah, he went down to hell, the regions of Hades, it says, and he stripped him of his power. It says, what is it that he ascended? But first he descended, Ephesians 4:8. And it said that he led captivity captive. He led captivity captive. The one that was capturing, that's the word. The one that was capturing people and binding them and hurting them and hurting the man that he and God had created. And he took him captive and stripped him of his power. So that's why we're in Christ and he's in us. So we can have that authority. We don't come in our own authority, but we come with the name of Jesus, and he has no right or authority in our lives. Amen. That's why Luke 10:19 says, behold, Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power, all the demonic power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So when the devil comes with the latest fear tactic on the news, just turn it off. But you can say, nothing shall by any means hurt me. I'm going to go when Jesus says it's time to go. And when he doesn't tell me it's time to go, I'm going to be busy about the kingdom's business. Amen? Amen. So right now, I just want to show this little YouTube ad. It's from 1961. It's a little bit of humor, but it's going to help me make my point. So Cam, can you show that?
You know, this was me 5 years ago, and it's still me. As I confess, I'm a waistline watcher from way back. Well, that's enough for today. Now for a lively lift. Ice-cold Coca-Cola. There's no waistline worry with Coke, you know. Actually, this individual-sized bottle has no more calories than half a grapefruit.
Do you believe that? Half a grapefruit, right.
Another thing, the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds. Coke's a natural, wholesome blending of pure food flavors. I guess that's why everyone likes the refreshing new feeling you get only from not-too-sweet Coca-Cola. And no wonder. Lively, lifty Coca-Cola provides a welcome bit of quick energy between meals. Makes for a pleasant pause in a busy day. Oh, and remember, Coke is low in calories, too. Say, now, don't you get any thinner.
And Coke is low on calories, too. That was before Diet Cokes. Oh, my gosh. Was that a pack of lies or what? We're on the other end of this thing. I think there's 6 tablespoons of sugar in a bottle of Coke, slightly sweetened. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But I just thought, my husband said that to me. I thought, actually, that really illustrates my point of how we can be so easily deceived. Amen. And people addicted to Coke and Diet Cokes and stuff. I know people, man, they'll fight you. You try to take away their Diet Cokes, they will fight you. But anyway, but back to our verses. Did you get something from that? That just shows. And that, you know, when all the ads and commercials started on TV, that's where it started, that they found out that they could deceive us. And if they said it long enough, said it loud enough, we'd believe them, right? Okay, well. But I love this passage of 1 Corinthians 2:6, on down at verse 10. It says, it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. It was to us. He has revealed these things. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit searches out everything, and then he shows us God's deep secrets. That word secrets there is the word mysterion or mysteries. Another translation said he shows us his mysteries. But it doesn't mean mysterious, that what he shows us can't be understood. It means it's God's secret is a hidden truth in God's mind until he chooses to disclose it. That's from the Spirit-filled Bible. Let me say that again. God's secret is a hidden truth in God's mind until he chooses to disclose it. How many of you have just been studying the Word of God, just, you know, reading a familiar passage you've read a zillion times, you probably have it memorized, and all of a sudden something jumps out at you. And it just changes you. It changes the way you think. That's called actually the rhema of the word when that goes off inside you and brings change. And some of us went to a Bible college named that years ago. But I remember one day I was meditating on Galatians 5:16 that said, to walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And I read that, you know, many times, but I was kind of passing through. Really, I was headed to read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. But along the way, the Holy Spirit just alerted me to linger there for a little bit. Have you learned to pay attention to the Holy Spirit when he challenges you to linger over a passage of Scripture? And I realized that my thinking towards sin was totally backwards. I had this attitude that if I didn't sin and didn't do this and didn't think about that and didn't yield to my flesh, that somehow that was going to cause me to walk in the Spirit. But he said, no, 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 that's exactly the opposite. He says, walk in the Spirit. Keep the pedal to the metal. Stay in the Word of God. Stay fellowshipping with the Father. Stay coming to church. Stay getting some fellowship with your sisters. And then you'll look back and go, oh, man, that nasty habit, that just fell away. What happened here? Because you're walking in the Spirit and you're not yielding to the lusts of the flesh. Are you with me? That's just an example. But that changed me. I remember that changed me. And what I realized was if I relaxed those disciplines in my life, I wasn't in the Word as much, maybe got a little flaky with my church attendance, didn't reach out to my sisters like I should or whatever, got in a pity party because they're not calling me, you know, or whatever, then I would find those appetites in the flesh getting stirred up more. That pie was looking better. You know, that chick flick that you had a little check you shouldn't watch. Yeah, that seemed like, let's go ahead and do that. Oh, and let's eat nachos while we're watching it. You know, but if we will walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's just an example of the kind of things that God will do in your life when you meditate in his word. It's a hidden truth in his mind. But as you're in the word and you're paying attention to the Holy Spirit and you're allowing him to be your teacher, then he will reveal it to you. There's two elements necessary to know the things of God. Number one, revelation by God through the Holy Spirit, his side. He has to reveal it to you. And that's why we can't judge other people, because we have our own path. And so when God reveals something to you that you need to let go or do, that's your walk with him. And you can't put that on someone else. Some of us, you know, when we first came to the Lord, we were judging all our friends that hadn't quit smoking yet. Well, God wasn't dealing with them on it yet. He will eventually. But we had our own walk. We have our own walk. Are you with me? And we only answer to God. We don't answer. Nobody else answers to us. That's why it says the spiritual people, we don't judge and they can't judge us. Amen. I like that. But there's two elements necessary to know the things of God. Number one, revelation by the Holy Spirit, his side. And then number two, appropriate spiritual response on our part. In other words, when the Holy Spirit shows us something, our response has to be, yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you for showing me in that word. You have caught my attention on that. You have brought that to my understanding, that hidden truth. You have revealed it to me so it must be my time to change in that area. Can we all say ouch? That's his timing in your life. That's him being your teacher. That's him being your guide. That's him walking by your side. You're going to spend time with him, and then when he brings something to light, You don't have to worry about, you know, knowing everything and trying to have every revelation out of every scripture. Just do what he puts before you, what he has revealed to you, and walk in it. Pastor Dan said this recently, and I'd heard it said before, and it's so true. If you feel like you're in a dry area, if you haven't heard that fresh voice of the Holy Spirit, or it seems like your walk isn't very fresh and you're kind of just going through the motion, stop, spend time with God, and ask him, what was the last thing that you showed me? And the Holy Spirit's faithful. You'll be right there. You'll see where you were sitting. You'll see what time of day it was. And then whatever he showed you, purpose to be obedient. Or maybe even more obedient. Maybe he showed you something and, okay, I'll study a little bit more. But you didn't follow through and stay consistent with that. And let him kind of revisit that lesson. And if you get obedient, then you'll see things really open up and become fresh to you again. Because we don't have religion. We have a relationship. We have a walk with Jesus. And he's alive and he's living and he has lessons for us every day. And he wants us to literally be on an adventure with him. Are you getting this, ladies? He's so good. He doesn't want us to live status quo. He doesn't want us to live mundane. He hasn't called us to just be about the beggarly elements of this world. He has called us to be on adventure with God Almighty. He's created us in his image. He is God and we are not. And yet he has seen fit, if you can imagine, to partner with us so that he can get his job, get his will done in the earth today. And he knows when he's returning, and we all have a feeling that it's going to be very soon. So he's trying to get us about his business so that he can return for a glorious church. And I don't know about you, but I got some relatives I'm still believing for to come into the kingdom. And I know you are too. So whenever people go, come quickly, Lord Jesus, I'm like, well, just a few more that I know about. So not too quick. Like, not tonight. No, I don't think they're ready. But anyway, that's just me being honest with God. I love it, though, this word mysteries. It comes from the word mysterion. I was thinking about it because I like to teach on the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue. How many of you, I'm just curious, let's be bold in this place. How many of you speak in other tongues? A spiritual language that the Holy Spirit has given you. Okay, good. We'll work on the rest of you. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men or to women, not even to ourselves, but to God, for no one understands him or her. However, in the Spirit, he or she speaks mysteries. We speak these divine secrets in the Spirit. And then I love verse 4 in that chapter says that as a byproduct, you're then edified. That word edify is where we get our word edifice. You build yourself up. So he's given us a spiritual language. And many times when I'm studying the Word of God and I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm speaking in other tongues as I study the Word of God, many times that's when that anointing comes in and I'm able to see truths in God's Word that before had been hidden. So you're speaking, when you speak in tongues, you're speaking mysteries to him, divine secrets. Isn't it fun to tell secrets? You just have to be a good keeper of secrets, or no one will tell you their secrets. But God can handle our secrets. And when we speak to him in that heavenly language that we don't know what we're saying, it's our spirit speaking by the Holy Spirit, secrets to God, divine secrets, things that we are unknown to our minds. Many times you might be praying for a missionary on the other side of the world that maybe is having to stand because his life might be taken, and he's tempted to back off his confession and to waver. Or you're praying about some child that's just about to be trafficked. I don't know. But many times that groaning or that intense prayer can come upon you. Yield to that. And as you pray in the Spirit, you may be wrestling with some of those principalities and powers, and you're speaking divine secrets that only God knows. And it's God and sons. It's God and daughters. He has to have faith on the planet to be able to do what he wants to do. Yes, he's sovereign, but he has set it up this way, that he needs faith on the ground. He needs faith in our hearts where we say, God, in the name of Jesus, do thus and so. And so when we're praying in the Spirit in faith, the Holy Spirit's able to work and move. Amen? Amen. Verse 12 in the portion of Scripture we're going over says, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. We can know the things that he's freely given us. Isn't that awesome? They're not hidden that we can't know them. They may be hidden truths that we need to seek out so that God can reveal them to us. But we can know all the wonderful things that he's freely given to us. And as we read in the first part of that chapter, our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard. We have not even been able to imagine. We cannot even imagine the glorious heaven that waits for us someday, eternity after eternity, on and on. We can't even imagine eternity. We have such a time continuum in our thought processes. But world without end, in glorious rulership and reigning with our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. But even now in this life, Jesus said that I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. How many want a more abundant life? We're doing good, but we could do better. Amen? But I love Romans 8:32, and this is actually going to be your soap verse today for you table leaders. But Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, think about this, he gave us his ultimate. He gave us his most prized possession, his son. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Jesus, also freely give us all things? Anything that you would want, you've received Jesus as your Lord, hopefully. Anything that you would want or need is just tiddlywinks. He's already given you his most precious prize. I've used this example before. If I give you $100 gift card to go to, let me put it this way. If I give you my wedding ring, which I'm not going to, at our 25th anniversary, my husband upped the ante a little. So I it's precious to me. If I gave it to you and then you needed the cash for it, and I gave it to you, so it's yours. But because of your finances, you needed the cash for it and you needed gas money to go to the pawn shop to pawn it to be able to, did anybody still do that anymore? I don't know. Anyway, but am I going to deny you the 10 bucks for gas? I've given you one of the most precious things I have. Do you see what I'm saying? So anything that we could ask, was that a bad example? That wasn't very clear. Anyway, anything that we could ask of God now is just tiddlywinks compared to who he has already given us. He has proven his love. He has absolutely done what the most amazing thing he could do to show you how much he loves you. So right now, just really quickly around your tables, I want you to take just about 3 minutes and just go around your table. And I want you to share some of the things that you feel like God has freely given you. It could be spiritual, it could be natural, it doesn't matter. Just around your table really quickly with your table leader. Just go around your table. It could be, what has he given you besides the blood of Jesus? What has he freely given you? It could be your health, it could be your amazing children, grandchildren, whatever. Just go around your table and just quickly share. We're only going to take just a couple minutes with this. Okay, did you get some things? Maybe not everybody had a chance to share, but hopefully you heard some other things that have been freely given to you besides Jesus. With him, he's freely given us all things. So let's turn back to this portion of scripture that we're going through. And let's look at verse 14. We're just highlighting some of these verses. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. So let's define spiritual. What is spiritual? We all want to be spiritual. We want to be spiritual leaders. We want to be strong spiritually. Amen? Well, Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age or mature. That's me. Say, I'm spiritual. Oh, okay, by faith, maybe if you're not feeling that way. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age or mature. That is, those who by reason of use or practice have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. James 1:22 says for us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if you're only hearing the word and hearing the word and it sounds good, and I've heard that verse before, but you're not putting it into practice, you can actually deceive yourself. You can actually think that you know some things you don't. And I the other day I was back and forth. I have two sisters that are born again, that are strong spiritually, and so that's beautiful because we were able to share. And so we've been talking about that song, Firm Foundation, by Cody Carnes. He is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. I'm not going to sing. Anyway, but we were back and forth. My sister had sent it. Have you guys heard this song? Oh, yeah, we love it. And so we were talking about the song. And my sister said, he won't fail me, exclamation point. And so I had put, pray for me. I'm going to be preaching tomorrow. And I'm having a little issue with some dizziness and blah, blah, blah. And then I stopped and I went, but he won't fail me. See, I was starting to do that religious thing. Oh, we're going to talk about, oh, he won't fail me. But now I'm a little concerned he might fail me. Just being honest. And there's so many times we do that. Praise the Lord. Oh, he meets all my need. Praise the Lord. But now I'm going to go spend the rest of the day being anxious about if my rent's going to be paid. We have to live this thing. Are you with me, ladies? We have to live it. And so we can't just be doers of the word and say our little religious sentences. But if we're going to be mature, it's through doing the word of God. It's through exercising and doing the word of God that we're able to discern good and evil. Because see, when you're walking with Jesus, when you're doing what he tells you to do, and some person or thing happens that's authored by the wrong spirit, it'll be like, wrong. Nope, not going there. Nope, not going to believe that lie. There's been so many times my husband and I have been watching the news going, lie, 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 lie. Because you have that discerning that's going on the inside. And so then, we turn that one off. But so if you're walking with Jesus and you're obedient to him, you are going to understand spiritual things. Amen. The last part of this verse in the Message Bible says, the last part of this section of the verses, starting with verse 14, it says, the unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. I've had people, of the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, the reason why we have trouble sometimes getting people to receive is it just seems kind of silly, right? Can we be honest? And that's how many spiritual things seem to people in the world. Oh, that's just foolishness. You're going to give away 10% of your income? That doesn't even make any sense. How is giving more and living on 90% better than having it all? It's that upside down kingdom that we're in, that God says to give when you want to hoard and hang on to. And God says to to pray when you feel like joining the party or whatever. You know, it's an upside down kingdom. And many times what seems silly even to our natural mind may exactly be the will of God. It says they seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by spirit. God's spirit and our spirits in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's spirit is doing. Woo! Isn't that amazing? I'm preaching myself happy up here. I don't know. Are y'all getting it? As they say in Oklahoma, y'all getting it? But anyway, it says, we have access to everything God's spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Hallelujah. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's spirit? Anyone who knows what he is doing? Has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's spirit. Amen. We have Christ's spirit. So I love the access that God gives us. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit comes in, and there's 9 gifts that the Holy Spirit brings, 9 supernatural gifts. And of those 9 gifts, there's 3 that some people, just for the purpose of studying them, call them the revelation gifts. But it's talked about in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But we have at our access, by the Holy Spirit, a word of knowledge, where God can give you a supernatural word of knowledge, something that you did not know before. But in that time of trial, in that prayer, in that temptation, he can give you a word of his knowledge supernaturally right at that moment. Yes, there's the wisdom that we gain from reading the word of God, but we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And as Pastor Jess was exhorting us a couple weeks ago, we got to allow the Holy Spirit to do some things through us that he wants to do. And in this area, he wants to supernaturally reveal things to us many times that we need to know, either in prayer or in making decisions. It's a word of his knowledge, a word of wisdom, his wisdom, how to apply that knowledge. Or his wisdom can be about the plan and the purpose of God. Maybe you and your husband are praying about the next step. What is the next step? We're in this season, God, that I'm not sure. What is the next step for us? And as you pray together and as you commit time, and many times it'll lead you to fast, the Holy Spirit can give you a word of wisdom that'll be a sense of direction that you need, that you're so glad you spent that time. And then there's the discerning of spirits. And we just talked about that. You can discern good and evil. But many times, someone is talking to you, and on the inside, the Holy Spirit will say, that is of the devil. Think about it. Peter walked with Jesus. It was the big 3, Peter, James, and John. They were everywhere he went. And then as he approached his hour and started talking about, you know, I'm going to have to go, and the Holy Spirit's going to come, and Peter began to rebuke him. And Jesus turned to Peter, one of his beloved, and said, get behind me, Satan. Was he calling Peter Satan? No, but he identified the spirit behind that. Sometimes we've got relatives that way. We love them and we're praying for them, but many times the enemy will use them. They'll come to your house maybe for Thanksgiving and be all critical about how you laid your table, trying to mess up your Thanksgiving dinner. You just got to walk in love. Say, no, I just use paper napkins. So sorry. You know, whatever. I don't know. But I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit many times will show you the spirit behind something. And sometimes somebody's acting a certain way. And inside, you know, there's a demonic girl that followed Paul for 3 days before he identified that it was a demonic spirit causing her to say the things she was saying. And she was saying, these are the great men of God. They worship God. And I mean, what she was saying was right. So he's walking along going, so why do I feel so funny about this declaration she's making? Is she supposed to be my free advertisement? Or what's going on here? And it says, then he turned and he cast it out, and he got in prison for that. But my point is, he had to discern. He was waiting on God. God, what is this? What's behind this person? And sometimes we're quick to, you know, maybe want to cast some people out of our lives, and they just have some weird habits or funny, peculiar ways or quirkiness. Anybody My sister said, at my funeral, they are not allowed to use the word quirky. No, but we have to discern, is this just how the person is? Is their heart right? Are they really just worshiping God? Or is the enemy using them to distract? You know, and these are something we as leaders, a lot of times, we're quiet. We're kind of listening on the inside. How do I deal with this situation, Lord? Are you with me? So those are three supernatural gifts even that the Holy Spirit will help you with. In the Message Bible, verse 15 says that these spiritual things can seem like silliness to them, people in the world. Well, let me tell you, do not be intimidated by friends and relatives and people in the world that make you feel like what you're doing is foolish or you're silly, or it's silliness to them, it's foolishness to them, because they are patterned after the god of this world system. And so they're following the logic that they hear spewed over the news media or whatever. And it changes so much. They're one week they're like this, the next week they're like that. But don't be intimidated by humanistic scoffers. Are you with me? I remember I had a professor in college that gave me a B in a class I should have had an A in, because he said that I refused to conceptualize on a higher level. And I said, conceptualize? I can talk that talk, all the intellectual jargon. Many times you got to just like wade through it. What are they really saying? And they can sound so articulate. They can sound so intellectual. But what is the resolve? What are they really saying? And so we can't be intimidated by that. If you tend to be intimidated and you feel like you don't have the intellectual answer to the issue that they're trying to make you feel intimidated over, just keep it simple, sweetheart. Just keep it simple. They can never withstand your testimony. They can never withstand the joy that the Lord has put in your heart. I remember years and years ago when I was, before I came back to the Lord, I was just a waitress in a restaurant, but I'd been raised in church and I was backslidden. But I see I had my doctrine right. I knew the correct plan of salvation. You were not saved until you came up out of the water. And you know, the gifts of the Spirit were not for us today. And I had all my religious arguments lined up, but I was backslidden. I was living with another backslidden Christian that I met at summer camp. I mean, figure that out. Going to a Christian college. But what bothered me in this restaurant is there was a whole group of Spirit-filled young people after church on Sunday night would always come in and eat because we were open kind of late. And it bugged me because they had the wrong doctrine, but they were so happy. And what I believed wasn't even working for me. I had the right doctrine, but it wasn't working for me? No. I was living in sin, talking to God every night. Oh, God, you know my heart. Yeah, and I know you need to repent, too. So my point is, but I would try to trip them up. And I would say, well, did you know that these things are not for us today? And I'd try to get a little side argument going on. And they would go, oh, I don't know. I just speak in tongues. It's amazing. You should try it. I mean, they didn't have complicated answers to my very religious questions. But what happened was God used them because it haunted me. As I continued for another year or so in my backsliddenness, it bugged me that there were some Christians, maybe there were Christians, that had joy and had peace and had godly lives and fellowship, but they were wrong. It cut through my religious arguments because they had a walk with Jesus. That's my point. No one can withstand your testimony. No one can withstand the peace and the joy that you have in your life because it speaks so loudly. So you just be you, boo. You just be you in Jesus and walk with him and let it show very loudly. Are you with me? Are you with me? I love it. In 1 Corinthians 2:4, it says, Paul says, and this was actually from a couple weeks ago, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, that can be many times after the god of this world system, But your faith needs to be in the power of God. You have a living God that answers your prayer, that changed your life, that causes you to overcome and be victorious in Him. Amen. He is God. He is God. Verse 16 goes on. It says, but we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Everybody say it again. I have the mind of Christ. In the voice it says, we have the mind of the Anointed One. We have the teacher, the Holy Spirit, on the inside. John 14, 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. All things means all things. There's nothing that you could need to know that he can't show you because he's God. He said he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that he has said unto us. So that's why I love getting in the Word of God and committing it to memory or meditating on it until it gets down in your heart. Because then when you're at a point where you need the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit can bring to your remembrance what you have stored in there. But if you don't have anything in there, he has nothing to bring to your remembrance. So let him be your teacher. He's your comforter. He's your counselor. He's your helper. He's your intercessor. He's your advocate. He's your strengthener. He's your standby. And he's on the inside of you. Your wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. I love what Marcus Witt said at the men's conference. He said, well, my temple's turning into more like a cathedral. But anyway, I love 1 John 2, 2. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. Whew. Say, I know all things. You are unlimited, not because of your vast abilities. You are unlimited because you have an unlimited God on the inside. And we need to tap in, ladies. Are you with me? I hope I'm preaching good today. We need to tap in to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us. And many times he can't operate through us like he would like to because there's so much stuff in his way. So he wants to do a work in your heart, do a work in your life, have those living testimonies. You're walking with Jesus. He's answering your prayer. You need a quarter in the phone booth. They don't have phone booths anymore, but there's a quarter. You're experiencing walking with him. So it's a living, breathing, alive thing going on in your life, and you have something to talk about, you have something to preach about, and you're known and read of all men. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to us today through the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth and to us today? What is he saying? Number one, we have the wisdom of God. Everyone say, I have the wisdom of God. We have the wisdom of God. We've received Jesus, and he's been made unto us wisdom. I love 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, but of him we are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus is our wisdom, and therefore we have wisdom. Number two, we have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Say, I have the Spirit of God. We're born of the Spirit of God, and we have the Holy Spirit so that we can know the wonderful things that he's freely given to us. He can lead us and guide us into all truth. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. You need to know what's truth in your life. You need to know what is real and true. He will guide you into all truth, for he'll not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he will tell you things to come. There you go. There's that word of wisdom you need. He will tell you things to come. He will show you. He might not show you every step of what the next 10 years is going to be like, but he is going to show you that next step. He is going to show you what you should do in a time of indecision. He's going to give you wisdom. Amen. And then number three, we have the mind of Christ. We have to meditate on that. We have to think on it. Don't say things like, I'm so confused. You're not confused. He has not given you a spirit of confusion. He has given you the mind of Christ. Well, what do you say? Well, you say, but what if I feel confused? You might feel confused, but in that time that you feel confused and things are very chaotic in your life, say, thank you, Father. I believe I have your mind on this. I believe I have the wisdom of God. I believe I have the mind of Christ. I believe you're going to show me what to do. I might not know at this moment in time what to do, but God's going to show me what to do. And encouraging my husband, you know, he'll say, oh, I'll say, God's going to show us, honey. We can encourage each other. If your sister says something flaky, don't correct her and tell her to go to Bible college. Just say, I mean, you can tell her to go to Bible college. We all need to go to Bible college. But just say, I believe you have the mind of Christ on that, sister. I believe God's going to show you. And we need to encourage each other, because in this hour when sometimes it seems like you're having to make a decision a second, he will give us his mind and show us what to do. So I want you to repeat these things after me. Say, I have the wisdom of God. I have the Spirit of God. I have the mind of Christ. Do you believe that today? Amen. Amen. Let's go to our tables and let's soap Romans 8:32. You still have some time. I did go over, though. I apologize. God bless you.
Actually, we're going to do announcements really quick so you guys can go to your tables. Wasn't that good?